What's up, Doing It At Home family? Happy Saturday. Hope everybody out there is having a fantastic day. And we're having some amazingly beautiful weather here in Atlanta. And spring has sprung. And I'm hoping that you all are having great weather, or at least listening to this episode hopefully sends you some great vibes so that you can have a little pick-me-up to your day. Today we're dipping into the archive a little bit, and you know, we've had a lot of people talk to us and reach out about the postpartum experience, and they want to hear more about, you know, Sarah's postpartum experience, my postpartum experience, and things along that nature. So Sarah and I are cooking up those episodes, I wanted to share this episode. This is episode number 19, and it is called My Home Birth Postpartum Experience. And it is one of those solo episodes where it's just Sarah, and she's talking about her home birth postpartum experience. And at the time, she is 4 months post having little baby Maya, and it was just a really interesting, fascinating journey for her. And, you know, she breaks down a lot of different things in this episode. She talks about the first stages of postpartum after home birth, those postnatal visits with the midwives, having to heal after tearing during delivery. She talks about taking placenta pills, breastfeeding, postpartum sex. That was a lot of fun. And diastasis recti. I don't even know if I said that right. But basically, ab separation. That's something that Sarah experienced. And today, she still has some, and she's still going through that experience. And we're at 17 months right now. So we're going to dive into that, into this episode. And, oh, boy, Sarah would be angry at me if I forgot to mention this. We're having a survey going on right now. That's at diahpodcast.com/survey. And we just want to get to know you all a little bit more, learn what you like and don't like about the show. Give us some feedback. And then also, you can tell us some episode ideas, things that you want to hear us talk about, and other ideas that you have for things you want to see us create. So people have talked about wanting books, wanting merchandise, all sorts of cool stuff. We want to hear it all. Go to the survey, diahpodcast.com/survey. And we're giving away a $50 gift card to Amazon to a listener who fills out the survey. So all you have to do is go fill out the survey, leave us your email address. We're going to be selecting one listener at random who left us the email address. We're going to give you a $50 gift card to Amazon. And that is going down on Monday, March 5th. That's when we're going to choose the winner, Monday, March 5th. So, diah.com/survey. Leave us your thoughts. You get a chance to win some cash on us. And yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate you. So, with no further ado, let's jump into today's episode, a rebroadcast of episode 19, My Home Birth Postpartum Experience.
Hey, I'm Sarah. When people asked me and my husband Matthew about our birth plans, our answer was simple. We're doing it at home. So this is a podcast all about our home birth journey.
Hey everyone, today I am joined by no one because I am flying solo today actually, so it's just me, Sarah, recording, and that's happening just because, you know, life happens and the way mine and Matthew's schedules were coordinating this week, it just made most sense to either record by myself or not record this week. And so when we were talking about it, Matthew said, how do you feel about recording by yourself? I had an initial little feeling in my stomach and in my chest of something like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it by myself. But how I function, if that's how I'm feeling, then that means I have to do it. So I felt that kind of discomfort and slight nervousness. And I thought, okay, well then that means I'm going to record by myself. So let's do it. Yeah, we're cool. So that's what's happening. And I had a topic set up. So what happens in our creative process, myself and Matthew, I tend to do most of the topic creation and come up with the ideas for the shows. And then we talk, we collaborate and, you know, create outlines and plan, and then we record. Well, I had a topic planned, but I want to switch it up because I got a lot more inspired in this moment to talk about today's topic. And so I'm kind of going on the fly here. You know, I created some notes, but it didn't go through its full process like most episodes do. So we'll see how this goes. Maybe it's an outstanding success, maybe not so much, but I'm going to try it out anyway. And I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And that is home birth postpartum. Postpartum is such an interesting journey. I mean, one that I did not know a lot about getting pregnant and through pregnancy. I did not really know what to expect in a lot of areas. And I think in some ways that was great. And in other ways, maybe I could have done a little bit of research. But postpartum is just this interesting time. You know, you've just thrusted this human being from your body. And now you're looking at what it means to move into motherhood. But before that, or before myself, for instance, before I really felt like I was in the state of mother, I really felt like I just needed to keep this little being alive. So you're more in like a survival mode rather than parenting. And then you're also, depending on how your birth and your labor and your pregnancy was, you're healing yourself physically. So there's so much that's going on. And every woman's, of course, pregnancy is different, but then also postpartum experience is different. And I just have been really inspired to talk about that because I'm, you know, 3.5 months postpartum now. And I've gone through a number of interesting scenarios in my journey. And that's what I want to share. And specifically around a home birth postpartum story, because I did have a home birth. And so that's my tale. You know, it's rooted in a home birth experience. So that's what I want to dive into. And this is all experiential from my perspective and how I have experienced postpartum. I have no solid medical advice or statistics or jargon for you. It's just how I experienced it. And it might be similar and it might be different, but hey, I'm going to share it. So that's...
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
What we're doing. So I'm going to stop rambling and get right into it. My postpartum experience started on the day of my birth, you know, once you're technically postpartum, and the midwives that we worked with stayed at the house for like 4 to 5 hours, I think, after birth. And that was amazing. I mean, the care and the one-on-one attention, both for myself and for baby Maya, we got was amazing. So they were there to help out with cleaning up the whole room. You know, we had a birth pool, so they drained that, got rid of that, cleaned the room, gave instructions to everyone on what they could be doing and how they could be helping, making sure I was fed, making sure I was hydrated. They do a whole newborn exam, which is so sweet and cute and adorable. And, you know, they weigh her in this little stork-looking fabric. They kind of, like, lift her up and weigh her and, you know, how tall she is and all that stuff. They were also there to help me with some things that were happening postpartum, in that I tore during delivery. A lot of women do. And instead of having to go somewhere to get that taken care of, I got to get stitched up right on my bed, you know, hanging out. And that was cool. A lot more pleasant experience for what I would want than to be in a hospital and getting stitched up. So they just, you know, shot me with some lidocaine, stitched me up, and sent me on my merry way, helped me shower, which was, that was great. And so that was the welcoming into postpartum life. And it was very sweet and loving and peaceful. And they came back the next day too. The midwives came back the next day to visit, see how everyone was doing, check in on everything, see how nursing was going, making sure that, you know, my colostrum, I think that's how you say it. That's the stage that you're at right after giving birth before the milk comes in. Making sure she was latching okay, all of that stuff. So depending on what route you go with your birth and your home birth, if you have a, you know, a midwife relationship or doula, you know, check into what the postpartum care is like, or, you know, when and if they'll be visiting you. That was so important to me, and I'm so happy it went the way that it did. And we followed up with them a couple more times. I think I saw them the next week after giving birth, and then two more additional times. And it really rounded out the whole experience. I mean, these were women that became such an important part of our lives, and we really built these magical relationships with. You know, I was sad to see them leave after giving birth, and I was sad at our last appointment. I wanted to keep seeing them every week just to hang out and to see them and to have them watch Maya grow. So that played a huge role in assimilating out of pregnancy stage. And I understand for a lot of women, I've felt this a little bit at times, missing the pregnancy stage and missing the pregnant body and, you know, missing the kicks and that feeling. I've definitely had a few moments like that. While of course I am overjoyed to have Maya here on the outside and be able to see her and touch her and kiss her and play with her, you know, you get used to that state. You get used to that role as a pregnant woman, you know, for 10 months, and it's gone in an instant. It's gone. Like, she's not in your belly anymore. You might still have a belly though. You know, you might look pregnant for a few more days, but you're not. And that was interesting. And I think it can bring up, you know, some blues, some of the, you know, postpartum blues, which I totally get. So that was another thing in having the midwives. They offered perspective on that, and they could be a support system. Aside from, you know, the obvious support system of Matthew, my husband, and friends and family, they're really a great resource. And I also had my placenta encapsulated, which was cool. There's a lot of benefits to that. And we've actually talked about it before on the podcast with Jenny DiPietro and Maria Mangle. So you can check out either one or both of those episodes. Recommend that. They're placenta encapsulation specialists. And that can help with, you know, your energy and some of those post-delivery blues that you might feel. So I definitely recommend that and looking into that as part of your postpartum journey. What else do I want to talk about? Oh my gosh, things that I did not know about, or maybe people told me and it was kind of like one ear out the other type of thing, because I was pregnant and I was thinking, oh, okay, but I don't need to dwell on the stuff that's going to happen afterwards. But the bleeding, oh my God, the bleeding. You know, not to freak anyone out that hasn't gone through this yet or hasn't experienced it, but I really underestimated what that was going to be like, that I would just be bleeding so much for days and days post-delivery, you know, wearing the badges of honor of new mommyhood, the adult diaper, the mesh underwear, cooling pads and like putting pads in the freezer because you're swollen. And, you know, that first time I took a mirror to look at my situation, I was really shocked. I really had no idea of what it would be like. And, you know, especially with tearing, you know, being sewn up, like by she, I mean my yoni. Yoni is a Sanskrit word for vagina that I really like, and it's my favorite word for that, the downtown lady area. She did not look like the way that I knew her to look. And I would have felt exactly the same if someone had told me in explicit detail what it would look like and what to expect. Maybe I would have, maybe not, but either way, it was not what I was expecting, and I did not know that I would be so swollen, so sore, so sore. And this may not be for every woman, but like you'd had the workout of your life, but just all centered in your vagina and in the muscles and in those PC muscles and the round ligaments that I had been feeling a lot of pulling at, you know, in the last couple of weeks of pregnancy. All of that was just so incredibly sore. And let's see, what else? Breastfeeding. You know, I mentioned that the midwives were really awesome in that they helped to make sure that I was latching all right. And, you know, they were there to support and whatnot. I also just had no idea what to expect with breastfeeding. That was the biggest area that I did zero research or anything on. And in a way, I think that actually served me to not get all up in my head about it, because I do have a tendency when something new is coming up or something that I'm going to experience, I'll kind of dive in and, you know, go into the black holes of the internet and read the books. And then it can almost mess with your mind because you're too much in it. So I did the absolute opposite with breastfeeding. I knew I had boobs. I knew milk would come into them. And I just figured I'd go from there and we'd figure it out. And Maya would know what to do. And my body would just naturally know what to do. That's exactly what happened. I'm super blessed. I'm very grateful. I understand that it's not that experience for every woman. And that, you know, some women have issues with production and latching. We didn't have any of that. And I think part of it just may have been that I had no context for it, and I had no idea in my mind that I would not be able to do it. So I just did. You know, it's kind of like a child who hasn't been told yet that things aren't possible or that they can't do anything or that something's hard, and you see a kid just like go kick up a handstand against the wall or hang from a bar or something. You know, they don't know that they can't do it. So I was very childlike, I guess, in my faith and my expectation of what breastfeeding would look like. However, I severely underestimated how much of it I would be doing and what it could look like when I have an unhealthy relationship to breastfeeding. And by that I mean in those days when she was cluster feeding and like nursing every hour, it seemed like sometimes even like 45 minutes, just feeling like this machine that was, you know, on the brink of running on empty every single time. And getting frustrated, and I was really sore some of those first couple of weeks. You know, production was fine. Everything was cool. She was latching, but I was just super sore, as I would imagine any person's nipple to be when a little milk monster is sucking on it for hours on end all day. I thought about just calling quits a few times and just like, whatever, no, we don't need to do this anymore. And something clicked for me when I read somewhere about breastfeeding, that breastfeeding is like this huge example of abundance, in that the more you give, the more like you produce, you know, it's a supply and demand type of thing. If I can be that abundant, you know, in my body and my ability to feed my baby in the way my body is so amazingly doing what it's doing. Total side note, a podcast that Matthew actually loves and I've listened to recently called Stuff You Should Know. It's actually hosted here in Atlanta. Two dudes, they're really funny. They're really awesome. They have a huge archive of things that they go through explaining how things work. Their most recent episodes are on breastfeeding, and it's really fascinating. They go into the ins and outs of breastfeeding and how amazing the body is in what it does to breastfeed. So I will include a link to that in this show's notes, their episode on it. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It makes sense that they could do a whole episode just about breastfeeding, because it's so amazing. But anyway, back to the abundance thing. So reading that and just realizing that really clicked for me. And I thought, if I'm approaching this like frustrated, if I'm, you know, when I'm picking her up in the middle of the night, getting her from the crib or, you know, putting her in bed to nurse her, and I'm angry about it, or I'm like resentful to her because I'm not getting sleep or I'm sore or whatever, that's all going to transfer to her. I truly believe that. I mean, kids and babies pick up on our energy and how we're feeling and what we're doing. So if I'm showing her that through this act of nourishing her and feeding her, I'm frustrated and I'm upset and angry, of course she's going to pick up on that. So I have a choice. I can keep doing that. I can shift it in some way by either choosing to go formula and being completely okay with it and releasing myself of the duty of breastfeeding, or I can switch how I feel about breastfeeding, and I can look at it as this amazing opportunity to bond with baby, to feed her, to nourish her, to honor my body and all that it's capable of. So that's what I chose to do. I chose to shift into that space with it. Before I did, though, before I made that choice, I did develop a little case of mastitis. And mastitis, if I'm clear on the definition of it, it has to do with the ducts. And so it's an infection in the ducts, or like they're clogged or something. Basically, what happens, and what happened for me, is you get like feverish symptoms. You get the chills and you're achy and your boobs hurt so much. And I started feeling that, and before I understood it was mastitis, there we go again into like the black holes of the internet. I'm Googling, I'm feeling like this, what does this mean? You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna have to quarantine myself from Maya. You know, she was only a couple weeks old at that point. And everything pops up. Oh, you might have mastitis. Okay, so back to the midwives, text them late one night. This is what I'm feeling. I think it might be mastitis. I blew that shit out in 24 hours. Completely healed it and got rid of it for a couple of reasons. One, I very much believe my body can heal itself, and I do my best to remain in that state and in that mindset daily, and that has come in very handy in this postpartum process. I lost my train of thought there, but yes, so that's my belief, and so I did that. I also had a really great arsenal of natural remedies suggested by the midwives. So I went in on the alkaline water. I drank so much, took echinacea, vitamin C, and raw garlic. Raw garlic, if you are experiencing mastitis or you do in the future, what you want to do is chop it up, put it on a spoon, put like a little bit of honey or something on the spoon, and then just swallow that whole and chase it down with water. You actually won't even taste that much of the garlic, and you won't have that like garlicky taste left in your mouth because you're just swallowing it whole. For me though, I read the instructions incorrectly and decided to chop up the garlic and chew it down, and I thought I was going to die. So learn from me, don't do that, swallow the garlic whole. But garlic is really great in that it's a natural infection fighter. So I just went in on all of those things and healed the mastitis within a day. I also am very much in the camp of things that show up in your body are a physical symptom of something that's going on emotionally, mentally. There's a metaphysical cause, essentially. And for mastitis, I looked up, there's this really handy book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. And in it, she talks about a bunch of physical ailments and a lot of the potential metaphysical roots of them. And for mastitis, wouldn't you know, it's overmothering, feeling overbearing, worrying, putting other people's needs before your own. And that's what was happening as I was getting obsessed and caught up in how I was feeling about the breastfeeding and getting frustrated over it. All of that was manifesting. So there you have it there. So there's some tips for healing mastitis. If it's like raging after like a day and those things aren't working, then you need to go into the, you know, realm of antibiotics. I was just super adamant on not doing that. So I did everything that I could and was successful in my attempt to blast it. Another aspect of the postpartum healing for me, like I mentioned, I tore during delivery. So they stitched me up. They stitched me up nicely. They said everything looked cool. And I expected to be sore and feel super uncomfortable for a while. And I did. But then I noticed it really wasn't starting to feel better. And what I noticed, what was happening, where they had stitched me down at the bottom, some extra skin had actually come through and was growing, was getting bigger. So I had this extra like flap of skin that was getting rubbed, and, you know, as I walked or sat in certain positions, and it was just hella uncomfortable. So I had to go through an additional round of kind of remedying that and healing that, in that I had to get referred from my midwives to their backup MD, who I would have delivered with in the event I would have been transferred to a hospital. So I had met him prior, because I had met him during my prenatal care, you know, to have rapport in the event that I did deliver with him. I had to go to his office and he removed the skin. And that experience, I will actually say, probably for multiple reasons, was unpleasant compared to birth. Yes, not even joking. I think there's a number of things that went into it. I was already super uncomfortable and kind of frustrated about the situation, that it had taken a while to heal, and now I was realizing something else had to be done for it, whereas I didn't have an experience like that going into birth. And it was more medically managed, you know, birth wasn't, and there were a lot more, you know, interventions and things involved in that. You know, he had to numb me, he had to cut the skin, he cauterized it with this like chemical cauterization stuff. So it was basically like just like searing my skin down there. And I would relate to that experience as painful. And I would not label birth as painful. I would label birth, I see it as, it was super intense. It was definitely, you know, a long, like chronic heat type situation. You know, you kind of had to like sit in, like it's the surrender, it's the fire, it's all of that. But I would not label birth as painful. I would absolutely label the removal of the skin that I had as painful. And yeah, it was just, it kind of felt like a hot mess, and it was frustrating. I am healed from that now though, and so excited about that. It's so amazing to feel just senses of normal. And what does that even mean? But like feeling like you get elements of your body back when you're in the postpartum journey is so amazing. So to just have like no physical discomfort in just like touching the skin down there is awesome. You feel like a new you. It's like, oh. And then let's do it. Let's go into it. So sex, postpartum life. We had an episode on sex during pregnancy, and now I'll just touch on it for a few minutes here. Maybe we'll do a whole other episode to get the other person's perspective, Matthew. But sex postpartum, such an interesting thing. I was super scared to even go in the first time. And that, yeah, no pun intended, I guess. But yeah, it hurt. It, you know, for a second I thought, this is just like losing your virginity again. Like, why? I thought that was over and I'd never have to revisit that. Because for me, my entrance into the world of sex was not this like, okay, I'm here, like, I'm ready to party. It was more like, why does anyone do this ever? Why is this a thing that people enjoy? Like, this sucks. I never want to do this again. And so I was kind of reliving some of that in the postpartum sex experience. I am so grateful to have a loving, compassionate, patient partner like Matthew, who will walk me through the experience and sit in it with me and tell me to breathe and affirm me and tell me I'm beautiful. Like, those are the things I recommend in that process. Voice what it is that you need to feel awesome, to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel beautiful. Voice that. Be unapologetically transparent in what it is that you need to feel that, and to honor this amazing part of your body that just brought a human into this world. She's beautiful and awesome, and like, yeah, she might have gotten torn up a little bit and stitched up, and maybe this doesn't feel the same way as it did, or maybe this is a little bit more to the side than it was before. Like, she's still amazing, and you should love it. And he should love it, or whoever you're interacting with should love it for its awesome power and beauty. And that's what I am affirming for myself daily now, as we've practiced it a few times now. We're, I don't know, maybe 10 times in since baby, and we're at 3.5 months, and I'm having orgasms, and it's awesome. And I believe that it's totally been made possible by the space that I've held for myself and the space that Matthew has held for me to heal and to move forward. And, you know, everyone's experience with that is different. I've read some threads online, you know, women asking, you know, when did you get back into sex after baby and what was it like? You know, and I saw some of these comments, women a year post, months post, saying like they haven't even, or they don't want to, their desire has completely plummeted, or it's still painful and this and that. And my heart aches for that, because the thing that brought this precious little being into your life, like, that's an act to be honored and to experience to the fullness of however you want to experience it. And so to hear that women don't want to, or feel that that's like not in the cards for them anymore after baby, just breaks my heart a little bit, because it's totally possible to come out stronger and sexier and more orgasmically charged. I believe it's totally possible. And so that's the possibility that I hold for myself, and I hold for any woman who's going through that experience. I also, let's see, what else have I experienced in my body? Ab separation. I won't even try and pronounce it because I do it wrong all the time. It's the diastasis thing, recti, whatever. I don't care if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but that's what it is. And I can feel about a finger and a half of separation in between my abs. And so it creates this little like pooch looking thing, like a little like mountain on each side and then a little valley in between, I guess you could say. And that's frustrating. But you know, I'm a lifestyle coach and a personal trainer, and being fit and active is very much a part of who I am and what I do. So getting back into working out was not as effortless as I envisioned it would be. And that's okay. It just created opportunity for me to relate to that and sit with that and see how I feel and heal in other ways, you know, heal myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually before jumping back into the gym. So I'm definitely not one of those, you know, hot moms, you know, so much power to them. They're super inspirational. The women who have a baby and then a couple weeks later are like busting it out in the gym. That's amazing. That just wasn't me. And I got okay with that. You know, I wasn't posting Instagram shots of me like lifting weights a week later with like my new big boobs and all the baby weight had been gone and all that. Nah, that wasn't me, and that's mine. So the ab separation, maybe it'll come together. I'm playing for it to come together eventually. Maybe it won't. But that's, you know, again, it took 10 months to build the body that created such a nurturing, loving space for my baby. I imagine it's going to take a while for some things to get back into their place, for organs to get back to where they were originally hanging out. Yes, for the abs to come together, you know, for my boobs to know what the hell they're doing in this new role, this new thing that they have never done before. I have so much boob, I don't know what to do with it. You know, I've always been, you know, between an A and a B. And now I don't even know, but it's just like, these were the things I prayed for when I was little, when I was in, you know, middle school and all the girls around me were getting boobs. I really wanted them. Well, they showed up a little late, but they showed up, and tell you what, they're not all they cracked up to be. Yeah, man. I'm grateful for them that I feed my baby. And then after they are no longer needed for that, I'd be totally cool if they go back down to maybe even smaller than before. Who knows? And the weight loss thing is also different for every single woman. I kept a very active lifestyle through pregnancy. You know, we talk about it a little bit in earlier episodes, you know, prenatal care and prenatal planning. So I didn't have this thought of what am I going to do to lose the weight, baby weight, and what's it going to be like? I've just kind of flowed with it and accepted that some things are going to be different and that I love my body. It's amazing in all stages and all shapes and all sizes, all curves and variations of skin elasticity. It's beautiful. And so I haven't been hung up on the weight loss thing. What I have is just kept my habits. I use this tool. It's called a balance chart. I've been on it now for like 4 years, and I use it with all my clients that I train and coach. It's a way to create accountability, which I think is great for new moms to have accountability and structure and balance in different areas of your life. And I choose habits that I want to support me in where I'm going and what my goals are and what I'm doing. And it's not just working out related or food related. It's what am I doing to feed my energy tank? What am I doing on a weekly basis to take time for myself, to not put others' needs before myself? You know, like, that's been one of the biggest lessons in this postpartum journey, that if I'm not taking care of me, then there's going to be some issues. I mean, you could look at it at the most basic physical level. If I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not eating well and I'm not drinking enough water, I'm not staying hydrated, then my milk isn't going to do what it needs to do to feed Maya. So then bring that up a few more levels. If I'm not emotionally or mentally taking care of myself in such a way, that's going to show up in other areas. You know, Maya's going to feel that. Matthew's going to feel that. The whole household is going to be feeling that energy. So I work on putting myself first. And I know that is something that seems super difficult in mommy life. And it's something that a lot of moms will judge other moms on, you know, how much time you're taking for yourself versus your kid, or who's the priority and this and that. There's always going to be ways to judge or to criticize what someone else is doing. And in my opinion, best to just stay within your energy and in your centers of influence and what you can create. And I think that's going to set a really awesome example for baby. So I know this took a lot of different turns. You know, we talked about some physical stuff, we talked about some emotional stuff, but that's kind of been what my postpartum journey has been like. It hasn't been all physical, it hasn't been all emotional. It's been a mix of all the things, and it's been ebb and flow, but it's been beautiful and it's been magical. And I appreciate so much reading other women's experiences in postpartum life, you know, coming out of an awesome experience like a home birth. It really sets the stage for like who you're going to be as a mom and how you're going to raise baby. So I'm super grateful for when people share their real, raw, authentic journeys. And so that's what I wanted to just do a little bit of and share where I'm at. I'd love to hear from you. We have gotten the most amazing emails recently from listeners who have been inspired by our conversations, who have helped affirm them in their decision to do home birth, or to inspire them to do it when they are pregnant. And I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude and joy. And we're just doing what we love to do. We love hanging out, talking to each other, creating. I can talk all day about my home birth experience because it was just so amazing. And now I have this amazing little human to hang out with all the time. So if you are inspired by this conversation, if you want to share some of your postpartum experience, if there's things I didn't touch on that you want to hear more about, or you want to expand or share your story, please reach out to us. Please, please, please. We answer every single email that comes through personally, and we love to learn about you and hear who you are and what you want to hear more of. So reach out to us at hello@diahpodcast.com and hit us up. Tell us how you're doing. So that was my first, maybe not only, solo episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate and love you all. And we will catch you next time.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.